In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your go-to Bible verse when you need one? John 3:16 certainly might land on the top 10 list if Christians were surveyed this particular question. And it's very likely that Jeremiah 29, where God states clearly that he has plans to prosper and bless us, also might make it onto that list. And perhaps even Luke chapter 2, the famous words of the angel to the shepherds after telling them not to be afraid because today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. If you've been to Sunday school and prepared for a children's Christmas service, the likelihood of that being a verse that's always at the ready to help explain to someone who Jesus is and what he's done for them would certainly also be on the list. The mind fills so quickly when a question like that is asked, doesn't it? Imagine if every Christian who ever lived was polled with that question. But add this element to it. Ask them, what is the very first passage ringing through your ears, coming to mind in a moment of crisis, in a moment of challenge, in a moment of loss? Or when you find yourself in a position to comfort or encourage someone else experiencing one of those moments? Be interesting, wouldn't it, to see what percentage of Christians would go immediately to Romans 8:28 and quote the verses, at least the first verse of our lesson for today. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. The concepts here. He says, all things for the good, God's love, God's purpose for you. And then the following verses round out so beautifully the context of the all things that he's referring to here. The God whom we love has loved us with an eternal foreknowledge. And in that knowledge that he had before he created one element of our universe, knowing us, he chose you and me to be conformed to the pattern of his Son. That makes Jesus our brother, our eternal brother. And that's why the eternal Creator God has called you, justified you in Christ, and made you certain of the glory of heaven, we're told here. Wow. If there was only one section of Scripture outside of the Gospels to lay out everything necessary, everything you needed to make your case that we should trust the Lord in any and all challenging situations, here it is, right here. Start memorizing. But we are so tempted by the realities of our lives in this world to doubt and question how this could possibly be. There are so many different things that we experience, not of our own choosing, that lead us so quickly to be looking at the sky and asking the question, why this? Why now? How can this be for my good? And certainly a pandemic comes to mind, but so do so many other health-related issues and job-related issues and relationship-related issues and issues, issues, issues. We are tempted to immediately push our noses right back down into the details of whatever we're experiencing to try to sort out for ourselves how this can possibly be for my good or anyone else's good that loves God. How any and all of these challenging and unpleasant realities in our lives can display this promise even more clearly in our lives. But that would be exactly missing the point of what God is saying here through his inspired ancient apostle to you and me today. Such contemplation of the moment is simply too immediate, too focused, too narrow, too demanding. God speaks a most amazing verse about only always working for the good of those who love him. Then immediately, he lifts our sights, our focus, upward and outward to eternity, to the longest term possible outcome. Our eternal calling into his eternal family. What God really wants us to understand in the moments of such challenge, or sorrow, or loss, or confusion, is that sin is our biggest problem every single moment of our existence. God wants us to understand that even though he knows that we are gross, helpless sinners, and we know that we are gross, helpless sinners, he loves us anyway. Before he created one single atom, he not only knew us outside of time, before time began, but he chose us. It tells us that right here with the words predestined. Now in the course of history, your history. God has righteousness available to you through the living, dying, and rising of his one and only Son. And he keeps applying that righteousness to every one of your sins, every one of your failures. He has called you through his word and sacrament to hear his voice during your time here on this earth so that you would know that he has justified you through his Son. As he continuously applies his Son's righteousness to you, God is, step by step, as these words tell us, conforming you and I to his Son's perfect pattern, so that one day we will share in the complete glory of eternal life. God is telling you here very clearly just how invested he is in you. In every moment of your life, and in always, only working for your good because you love him. That should take your breath away. That should stop your heart from beating at the very thought of it for all of its stunning implications. No matter what you must go through, no matter what loved ones you must lose, no matter what financial losses you might face, no matter the poor health or the hurtful, hateful moments you must endure, maybe some of them even as a consequence of your own choices, your own actions, you can know for certain, that every single moment of every single day, every single thing you experience that push you to look heavenward and ask, why, God, why? Why this? Why now? His answer is right here. And that answer is rock solid and certain, and it will never, ever change. Every moment, everything is always about your eternal journey with God and your journey to eternity with God. And your Savior God is always more than ready to take care of every single detail, every single step of that journey. The only question remaining then, when reading verses like this, is do you trust Him? Do you love Him? Will you stop fighting Him for control of your life and allow Him to fully and completely reveal to you everything He tells you here that He is and that He always will be for you? The world proves to you daily that it does not have all the answers that you need. And your heart and your head make the equally clear revelation that you are not up to being the captain of your ship, and that you shouldn't ever truly trust yourself completely in that role. And you know equally well that no other human being is up to that task of managing your life either. But here your God says to you very clearly, I've got this. I've got love. I've got forgiveness. I've got eternal interest in you that will ultimately lead you to the eternal glory of heaven. I will only, always, work for your good, for you who love me. So yes, you have quite a verse to offer, to remember and to quote when encouraging someone else to trust God in any challenging moment. But don't forget to hold on very tightly to that truth for yourself. This Romans 8:28 truth is life-changing. It is eternity-guaranteeing. It is everything that your heart and your soul long to hear and to know in your pursuit of peace and certainty. In the moments where only true and lasting peace can be the answer, God always, always and only works for the good of those who love Him. You love Him because He loves you perfectly, eternally. And that means that there is only good ahead for every single one of us. God's promised you that. Amen. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.